you. You may be seated. And hopefully you have your Bible online. You can follow with us. Everybody say seated.
Seated.
Seated. Seated is our subject today. And it's part one because we'll cover part two next week. There's so much to cover here. But what we're talking about is allowing the Holy Spirit to ignite, impact, and influence our lives with honor. See, you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. The Bible says that. But most people leave that position of victory, blessings, and triumphs, and get unseated. But the Holy Spirit has been sent to us and lives in us to help us stay in that position of victory. Stay in that place of blessings and triumph. He's there to take the things that belong to Jesus and then translate it to you for your personal victories and your personal blessings and your personal breakthroughs and your personal triumphs and overcoming in life. But sometimes, unfortunately, during hard times or difficulties, people get up out of the seat and they ignore the impact and the influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. John 16:13, verse 15. Jesus said, when the truth is come, he will guide you into what? All truth. That's huge. And he will not speak of his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. And he will tell you about the future. You don't need to go to a fortune teller. You don't need to go to the people, the talking heads on TV that's telling you doom, gloom, and despair. Amen. You got to watch what you're listening to. And he said, "He, verse 14, he will bring me glory and by telling you whatever he receives from me." Look at that again. He will bring me, the Lord, glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Now, the Holy Spirit has never received from Jesus, from the Lord, defeat, despair, despondency, depression, discouragement. He's never received that from Jesus. He's never received a report from Jesus that says it's all over. Let's just wrap it up and go home. Look at verse 15. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit. Everybody say the Holy Spirit. He will tell you whatever he receives from me. So he's not the one holding back truth, triumph, or blessings from you. He wants to help you get it. But we have to honor the Holy Spirit. See, I believe these are some of the most purposeful and powerful verses in the Word of God in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit, about his enormous role and responsibility in our lives. See, we encounter the Holy Spirit begins at the new birth, when we're born again and blood washed. And at the new birth or salvation, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's important you know that he is a person. He is not an it. He is not an ethereal mist. He is not just an invisible ghost. He is the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the third person of the Godhead. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Salvation is for this purpose mainly. It blesses and benefits us. It blesses and benefits you. Why is the Holy Spirit coming to take up residence inside of you? To bless you. To benefit you. Not to burden you, not to break you down or break your spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to bless you. Because Jesus came on earth to bless people, to benefit people. So the same like Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to do the same. The Holy Spirit helps you dream, helps you discern, discover and download the the benefits of blessings of being in Christ, and the Holy Spirit enlightens you, empowers and engages you in, to take your place in Christ and operate and function from your seated position of victory, triumph, and blessing in Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's doing all this. He wants to, he's not there just twiddling his thumbs or taking up space. See, there are seven blessings Jesus received. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. I had the New King James, or King James. He said, now they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book, talking about Jesus, and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, talking about Jesus, our Lord, and what has redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Everybody say, thank God for the blood. Now, we talked about last week honoring the blood. Why is it so important for you to honor the blood? Because this is the only thing that has redeemed us was his blood. It was paid, our souls, our lives were paid with a precious, precious price. That means when we've been bought by the blood and redeemed by the blood, we shouldn't be bought by anything else. Amen. So the Bible says to us in two occasions, in First Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. How do we have redemption? Through his blood. And the what? Forgiveness of sin. So you need the blood. You need to honor the blood because this qualifies and activates for you and makes access available to you of your redemption, of your redemptive rights and privileges in Christ. Somebody say glory to God. But you also get forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have forgiveness, redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why do you need forgiveness of sins? We talked about it last week. Because you cannot deny, because if you deny, you will forfeit your joy. You cannot deny the presence of sin, the power of sin, or the penalty of sin. 1 John 1:7 tells us that we are to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. All sin, its forms and manifestations. See, sometimes we don't know that we're omitting something or committing something. But the blood is there to apply to keep the power of sin and the presence of sin and the penalty of sin away from you so you can maintain your joy. Sin breaks fellowship. And so when you break fellowship, you don't participate or you don't partner with God's presence, God's power, God's peace, God's protection, or God's provision. Sin breaks fellowship, not necessarily relationship, but it breaks fellowship. So you need to have the cure for sin always on. What's the song? Come on, y'all. Y'all sing it with what can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. So some people try to do other things to make themselves whole. And we think it's a skin problem. We think it's a them problem. It's a sin problem. And the sin can only be dealt with by the agency of the blood of Jesus. Somebody said, glory to God. And so we're trying to figure sin problems. You know, politicians make laws. Thank God for them. We pray for them all the time. But politicians, I mean, there's thousands and thousands of laws, state laws and federal laws, trying to do what? Legislate morality. You can't legislate morality. You can't legislate sin. It's a sin problem. They're trying to make legislation about different rights and different privileges for certain people groups or certain colors and cultures. But it's not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. We got to honor the blood. So Paul, John even said, if you say you haven't sinned, you lied. And you do not the truth. Because if you forfeited your joy, if you've lost your fellowship, there's usually a sin problem. Because when you step out of God, you step into sin, typically. And you step away from the joy of the Lord and the life of God. See, all that's available to us, just like we are seated in Christ where there's no issues, that same status that Jesus has, because we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. You got to see this. But you can't experience it and enjoy it in life if there's sin. That's why we have to honor the blood. Everybody say, honor the blood. All right, let me keep going. Verse number 10. And has made us kings and priests unto God, that we shall reign in the earth. And behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, listen to this, watch these things that Jesus read. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, talking about Jesus, our Lord, to receive. Now the Amplified says this, deserving is the Lamb who was sacrificed to receive. What was Jesus doing in his redemptive act on the cross, sacrificing and shedding his blood for us? He was receiving things. And he told us the Holy Spirit will take the things that he's received. He will take the things of mine and he will show it to you. He will reveal it to you. He will translate it to you. He will transmit it to you. Somebody say, glory to God. What are those things? Receive power, number one, riches, number two, and wisdom, number three, and strength, number four, and honor, number five, and glory, number six, and blessing, number seven. So if Jesus received all those things, and he said that all things the Father has are mine, that means I've inherited everything from my Father. And where did he put you? He put you in him. Yes. Seated next to him. Hallelujah. And you're an heir of God and a joint heir with you. Now, let's go through the joint heir thing real quick. Because, I learned this through some training I just received. But if you have an heir and you have a farm and you say, I'm going to leave my heir to my four kids. Well, if you are just an heir, that means it's a split. Each child gets 25% of that farm. Then there's a scuffle over what 25% people get. But when you're a joint heir, each child gets 100% of that farm. And the Bible says you and I are heirs of God. That means we get to share in everything God has. Oh, my goodness. We get to share in everything God has and God will ever have and ever create. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. John 7, verse 13 through 29, Jesus is also talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, on the last days, at the climax of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. And anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Then he said, living water was, when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. He was speaking of Holy Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit has not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Acts 1:8. Listen to this. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, in Judea, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and in the ends of the earth. See, the river, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is flowing out of you to bless and benefit others. Remember, we said the infilling of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience, subsequent to salvation. We said at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to you as a person. At the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon you in power. This is to bless and benefit others and build up the church. The purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit is so that you might be a blessing to others. Everybody say a blessing to others. So in other words, at salvation, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit. With the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. In both experiences, you have to honor the Holy Spirit to enjoy and experience the good things. Amen. Honoring the Holy Spirit and receiving his divine influence, impact, and impartation on your heart and in our lives enables us to be like Christ in essentially two things: honoring the person of the Holy Spirit, who he is and why he's in you, and honoring the power of the Holy Spirit by yielding, responding, and receiving his anointing, his utterance, his direction, his guidance, his manifestations that come to you as he wills. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he won't force himself on anyone. He is typically the forgotten and ignored God. Because we're praying a lot of times Hail Mary prayers, football term, not Catholic term. He's saying he was trying to throw up a prayer and hope God can catch it. Desperation prayer. Catch it, God. Catch it. When we have God inside of us. Whoo, you're walking around with royalty and deity inside of you. Woo! Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he won't force it because he's forgotten. Basically, we dishonor or fail to honor the Holy Spirit enough in our daily affairs when we ignore and refuse to acknowledge and ask for his help and divine assistance. Now, take inventory. With any challenge, any circumstance, or any crisis that you've experienced over the last month or 2 months, I know people probably have experienced those things. How many times did you say, Holy Spirit, will you help me? Help me, Holy Spirit. Particularly if you're feeling bad or feeling bummed out or you're feeling burdened, your burdens are too heavy to bear. Did you say, help me, Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Those three elements are things that we always should be experiencing and enjoying regularly. Y'all know the song? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. I guess past something, I don't know. It's okay. Have you been ignoring or forgetting the Holy Spirit? When you're in the grocery store, y'all know, they're doing all kind of stuff to these farmers and these animal stuff, animal biologists. You got to pick the right amount, right type of meat to pick. You got to get the right chicken off the shelf. You got to get the right fish from the, you know, the little fish seafood place. You need the Holy Spirit because he knows everything. He's an expert in knowledge. He's an expert in persuasive speaking ability. He knows the end from the beginning. But have you been ignoring him? Have you been forgetting him? Have you forgotten 1 John 4:4 that you are of God? As a child of God, he said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. In other words, you're not starting trying to get victory. You already victorious in Christ. Now you just have to maintain and sustain your victory. He said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? Them, the demons, the devils, and evil spirits, and all their cohorts. Come on now. You have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're 1,000 times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. You and God are majority. Woo! Have you forgotten who the Holy Spirit is? John 14, 15 through 17 in verse 26, it says in Amplified Classic, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Now, this word another means, in the Greek, means one just like me, of the same kind, same quality. He said, I'm going to give you somebody just as good as me. Now, some people are always looking up saying, Jesus, help me. When you got the Holy Spirit who's just as good and just like Jesus on the inside of you. Come on, you got Jesus inside of your clothes, inside of your heart, inside of your newborn, recreated human spirit. You've got the person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He said, I will give you another comforter. Now, the Amplified lays it out in a very descriptive term, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain in you how long? See, the Holy Spirit doesn't just pack up and leave. But some of us almost assume and act like he's left. The Holy Spirit's always there because he's been called or summoned alongside to help you. He said he will remain with you for how long? Forever. The Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive. See, when you're not saved, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Amen. They can't welcome, take him into his heart, because he does not see him, nor does he recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly. Listen to that. He lives with you how often? Constantly. And will be in you. But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name and in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. this is just rich right here. Amen. He will teach you how much? All things. And he will cause you to recall and will remind you, bring about remembrance, everything I have told you. Some people even make an excuse, I'm losing my memory. I'm losing my mind. Stop saying that. Amen. You know, I'm realizing that there's so many, people practicing and playing around with the words dementia and Alzheimer's and memory loss instead of practicing and dealing around what the word says. Amen. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to my remembrance. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help me to remember things. Amen. I have the mind of Christ, and I hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of hearts. I'm not losing my mind. I'm just receiving the mind of Christ. Come on now, that's instruction for somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't need to be talking negative about your mind and going feeble in your mind, because your brains are now spirited because you're in Christ. You're not in crisis. Praise God. Hallelujah. The word comforter. Let's just talk about the word comforter for just a minute. The word comforter does not only mean consolation or sympathy in sorrow or distress, like somebody comforting you. We all need that. Jesus even needed it. The Father God sent the angels down to strengthen him and comfort him when he was tempted by the devil. You don't think he'll do the same for you? Because he loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. I, I get too many amens there. See, Jesus even said, show them, in John 17, show them that you love them just as much as you love me. In other words, the same love God loved Jesus, his only begotten son, he loves his children, his sons and daughters. Somebody say, glory to God. So you got to go walk with awareness that the Father God loves you, that Jesus loves you. Come on now, that the Holy Spirit loves you and he's inside to help you. Come on now. Hallelujah. See, we're not talking about just be a big pillow and blanket that the Holy Spirit going to give you and let you cry all night and whine all day. No, it means much more. The Greek word for is parakletos. Parakletos. And Dr. William Barclay described the Holy Spirit works in this way. Listen to what he says. The function of the Holy Spirit is to fill a man with a spirit of power and courage that would make him triumphantly cope with life. Triumphantly cope, not tormentingly quit, triumphantly cope in life. And the narrowing of the word comforter has resulted in undue narrowing of the work of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, the parakletos, the advocate or legal defense, Dr. William Barclay says in his study of New Testament words, has three enlightening comments about two Greek words describing who the Holy Spirit is and what his work is in the life of a born-again believer. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, and he is also our helper and strengthener. He's our advocate and our helper and strengthener. The parakletos is one who does these things. Five things on the list. Number one, he is called to render service. Everybody say service. So the Holy Spirit has come down to serve you and to help you. So we don't, like Jesus said, don't walk around like you're helpless. Don't talk like you're helpless. Because you have the capital H, helper, inside of you. Come on, somebody say glory to God. Number two, he is called to help in a situation in which a man or woman by himself cannot cope. Number three, he will keep a man on his feet when he or woman, when left himself, would collapse. Who's ever been overwhelmed to a point to where it seems like, man, this is way too much. But the Holy Spirit will keep you on your feet. When left to yourself, you would collapse. The Holy Spirit enables you to pass the breaking point and not break. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Come on, say praise the Lord. Praise. Come on, let's say thank you, Holy Spirit. Number four, he is a friend of the accused person. He's called to support his character in order to enlist sympathy of the judge in his favor. See, Satan's a legalist. That's where people get into legalism. They say, well, you're technically wrong. And they become judgmental, critical, cynical, and condemning. That's the spirit of the enemy. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And so Satan is an accuser, the Bible says in Revelations. He's accuser of the brethren. That means prosecuting attorney. He's trying to prosecute you and me before the judge, Father God, in the courtroom of heaven. See, y'all don't know this legal system on the earth is just a small reflection in a mirror of what's in heaven. God's the judge. Amen. Jesus is our defense attorney. But the Holy Spirit's our advocate as well. He's just like Jesus. So he's representing our defense. And one of the expertise of the Holy Spirit, two of them we need to really comprehend and understand, is that he's an expert of knowledge. He knows every way out, around, and through a situation or struggle. Because he guides you into all truth. And he'll show you things to come. Next, he's an expert in persuasive speaking ability. Yes. He knows exactly what you need to say and how you need to pray. Third, he's an expert in procedure and protocol. We don't know the proper procedures and protocol. You can't just run up there and say, Lord, I didn't do that. When the accuser said, yes, you did, let me review the tape. Now, how do you plead? Well, if you don't know to plead the blood, if you don't know to speak the name, if you don't know to say what the Holy Spirit is telling you to say, you will violate procedure and protocol, and now you could be condemned by your own words. Everybody say, we need the Holy Spirit. Number five, he is the counsel of the defense, someone who will present someone's case to another person in a most favorable light. That's why we said, when you don't know what to do, you hit it in tongues. Now think about the last 6 weeks. How much of your challenges, your crises, your circumstances have you hit in tongues? When I say hit it in tongues, like you hit this wall right here, you hit it in tongues. You say, I don't know what to do. But see, it's one thing to go around pouting and wanting everybody to have pity on you, but it's another thing to say, help me, Holy Spirit, pray against this thing. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth once said, it's a luxury to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, it's a divine command. Now let's go about honoring the Holy Spirit, and we'll wrap this up. Y'all get something out of this today? Amen. Honoring the Holy Spirit as our partner, and we'll pick up part two next week. Honoring the Holy Spirit as our partner is the launching pad for supernatural power. Now here's how the Lord said it to me, dear friends, saints of God, children of God, those online watching me, listen to how he said it to me. He said, my people are not walking in enough power. In some cases, they are absolutely powerless. When with the Holy Spirit, we can be absolutely powerful. See, you got to partner with the Holy Spirit. It's the launching pad for supernatural power. See, some of the things that come against us as Christian believers and Christ followers is not natural. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again today. 99.9% of all your problems, pains, and pressures are spiritual. They have a spiritual root cause. What does the scripture say on that, Pastor? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual. Against power, spiritual. Against rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual. Against wicked spirits in high places, spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. See, sometimes we think it's that person or that company or that, but it's the devil who's arrayed against you. The Bible even calls him adversary. That means an opponent, a foe, one who is arrayed against you in battle. We're not at peace. We're at war with the enemy of our soul. And he's trying to resist the will of God, resist the work of God, and the way of God in your life. Hallelujah. So you got to partner with the Holy Spirit because he's the governor of the kingdom. He knows how all spiritual laws operate. He knows how all spiritual, what's going on, everything going on in the spirit everywhere because he is everywhere present. He is everywhere powerful. He is everywhere knowledgeable. The Holy Spirit is huge, and you got to honor him. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and what? The communion of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say that phrase with me. The communion of the Holy Spirit. The communion of the Holy Spirit. Be with you all. Be with you all. Amen. So be it. So the word communion has two primary meanings. It means partnership and, number two, responsibility. Everybody say partnership. Responsibility. Partnership is what we would equal to a business partnership that you would equate. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus always work together. I'll give you some references here, seven references. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, Luke 1:35. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 3:16. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit, Matthew 4:1. Jesus healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:38. Jesus cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit, Matthew 12:28. Jesus called, raised Lazarus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11. And Jesus was seated at the right hand of the heavenly place in Christ, in heaven next to his Father through the power of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:19-20. So every time you see Jesus in the Gospels, he was working hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He and the Holy Spirit were partners, and we must honor our partner, the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus did. Now, responsibility conveys the idea of taking responsibility for someone. Now, there's a difference, you know, because we've said it before, when you have responsibilities to love and to care and commit to people in the church or in Christ, in the family of God, we always say you're responsible to, but you're responsible for yourself. That person is responsible for themselves. Now, I'm responsible to, in my role and responsibility as a pastor and as a brother in the Lord, right? I'm responsible to love you, but I'm also responsible to lead you and feed you. But you're responsible for feeding yourself and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, so Philippians 4:14. But it was right and commendable and noble of me to contribute to my needs and to share in my difficulties. Talking about responsibilities. Passion Translation says, you were so graciously provided for my essential needs during the season of difficulty. So this is an example of the Philippian church taking responsibility for the Apostle Paul when he was in prison. So in the context of the Holy Spirit, this means that as the Holy Spirit wants to become your partner, but also wants to assume great responsibility for you. Now, when you ignore him and you don't yield or respond to him, you step into a place of dishonor of him. See, the Holy Spirit, however, is, of course, if you wish the Holy Spirit to stand by and watch you do things alone, on your own, the Holy Spirit will allow you. Because he's a gentleman. He won't force you or push you or make you obey God, make you act in faith, make you pray. He will help you pray, but he won't make you pray. So the Holy Spirit has been called alongside to help you and aid you and assist you. And if you open your heart, your spirit to the Holy Spirit, he will assume more of an active role in your life. He wants you to know that you're not alone. Isn't that good? Everybody say, I'm not alone. But he will take responsibility for you. So the Holy Spirit wants to help you pray. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next week in our part two. Help you witness. Help you gain and experience victories, blessings, and triumphs in life. He wants you to step forward and help you and me. He wants you to step forward. And the Holy Spirit wants you to experience and exercise responsibility for you in a supernatural and miraculous way. So the question is today, will you let him? Will you yield to him? Will you respond to him? And will you honor him? You know, I found out the longer you live in Christ, and sometimes you forget that, you know, the Holy Spirit helps you with your righteousness, peace, and joy. And you can really slip, or we call it lapse. this is called an unintentional lapse. You can lapse back into being religious and being regimented and routine, where you think, I know this, I've got this. And we don't know or see spiritual opponents or foes ahead of us trying to blow a hole through your finances, trying to blow a hole through your health, trying to bust up your relationships and bring strife and division and discord in your house. See, when we think we know, that's when we need to subordinate and yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Say, help me, Holy Spirit. I can't just assume I can handle everything that comes to me or comes at me. I got to yield to my partner. I got to yield to the one who's taking responsibility for me, the one who's called alongside to help me. Now, one of the greatest benefits, which we'll talk about next week, you can stand. Go ahead and stand. Thank you for the time to give you the word. But let me just say it like the Holy Spirit, the Lord said it to me. And I'm not trying to be offensive or blunt, but let me just put it plain. We're not praying in the Holy Spirit enough. Some of us are not praying in the Holy Spirit enough. Now, what does that do? I like what he said to one minister. I call my name, everybody would know him. But he told him the same thing. You're not praying in the Holy Spirit enough to tap into my wisdom. See, some people think I'm going to lap around the power, but you can't just lap around the power. You can't just beat around the bush. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? You got to spend time. We talked about it with the prayer team a little bit on Wednesday, the prayers on Thursday, I'm sorry, last Thursday, that we got to pray in the Holy Spirit. We got to go to a higher place and order prayer. See, the Holy Spirit's already there. But he is wanting to take you and me there. Well, we operate off of a higher place and a higher position of victory and a higher place of power and authority. But you got to yield to him. Because, see, the devil's not playing favorites, and he doesn't even care about any of us. Taking you out through a virus, taking you out through different things that are occurring in our society, taking you out financially, taking you out with with a family offense or something like that, that just really just takes you off course and puts you on a spiritual junkie. The devil's time is short, so he's very angry. So you got to go higher in prayer. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity. Some have watched too much of the world, and the world has got in. And when you let worldliness gets in, wickedness will come in. And then the cycle of death will begin. So watch what you say and watch what you hear. For the time is short and my coming is near. So heed this word that you've heard today and begin to go forth and step out into a higher place to pray. For there are assignments for you to fulfill and accomplish according to my plan and purpose and my will. So this is the time and this is the hour, not to walk around powerless, but to walk around with supernatural Holy Spirit power. For you'll need to be distinct and discerning on every detail of your life. And the Holy Spirit will help you determine what place, what part, what step to take. And it will be without toil. And it'll be without strife. So rise up higher. step out and step up in. For there's a new realm of the supernatural that I've been waiting for you to enter in. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.